Hey, everybody, a little bit late today, but that's okay. I think we should title this show Bo Knows GFBS. I don't know. Grand Forks Mayor Brandon Bochensky in the studio today. We'll be talking with him in a couple of minutes. Show brought to you by Oh for Heaven's Cakes right here in the Grand Cities Mall. You know, graduation, it seems like a long time away, but it's not. For the best cupcakes or cakes for any special occasion like graduation or maybe just a sweet tooth, you've got to stop in to Oh for Heaven's Cakes. Right in the north backside of the Grand Cities Mall, open Tuesdays through Fridays from 10 to 4, Saturdays 9 to noon. Call them 701-757-CAKE or you can email them ohforheavenscakes@yahoo.com. Best cupcakes and cakes around. I don't care what anybody says. Hey, be a beautiful cupcake in a world full of muffins. Oh, for Heaven's Cakes in the Grand Cities Mall. Have any questions or comments for Mayor Bochensky? Our phone number is 701-213-0863. Feel free to text or call. Again, 701-213-0863. Before we get rolling too far into the show, let's do it. Our daily segment called Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. Dale's going to hate this one. What happens when you eat aluminum? What happens when you eat aluminum? You sheet metal. You do it, buddy.
I'm doing well.
Yeah. Fighting a little cold, are you? A sickness? Or
a little bit. I got to go back to that joke, though, because I got a good Russian hockey story on it for you.
Okay.
That joke right there. So actually, now it's Alex Ovechkin. So they interviewed him, and his friend, he had said he got a ship. And they thought, oh, my gosh, somebody bought him for his birthday this giant boat. And he kept saying, ship. Well, he got a sheep for his birthday.
Oh, jeez.
So it's kind of like sheet metal. There you go. Yeah.
When you lived over across the pond, was it hard for you to talk? Or I've been in a lot of places around Europe, and thank goodness most people know English. But was it hard for you to talk with people over there?
Well, it wasn't hard for me to talk. It was hard for them to understand what I was saying, probably. But in that population, the younger people would have studied English in their the university in town. There was in English. The older population, probably 60 plus, was prior to the, even to the Soviet Union. And then you had people that only spoke Kazakh. Then you had people between like 25 and 65 that spoke Russian and Kazakh and no English, and they weren't interested in ever learning. So
yeah.
I learned enough Russian definitely to get by, but it's not of a whole high value being in this part of the country. Maybe if I go to Miami, I can get in line at the clubs or something. I don't know.
You don't ever get really pissed off about anything and let out a bunch of Russian swear words so nobody understands them?
Every now and then, especially with the kids.
I was going to say, with the kids.
So that's a good way to do it.
Speaking of kids, how's the family doing? We're still running like crazy with hockey and all that stuff.
Everybody's doing great. Just finished up the team I was coaching, our B1 score team, B1 blue team. We just finished up. We won 9 straight games.
Wow,
season,
how about
so we're
that?
Pretty pumped. Yeah.
Heck yeah.
My son's got the Bantam B state tournament in Devil's Lake next weekend. My daughter started track practice, just got done with basketball. So they butt them up. So there's even a day between the seasons.
Yeah. Oh, usually they overrun just a little bit or override each other. UND won the Penrose again. That was good to see.
Yeah.
I was going to go to the game. TK, Tommy Canville, offered me up his ticket Saturday, but I went and saw Toto and Journey.
Oh, nice.
What an awesome show. Boy, I tell you what, Grand Forks saw some big, big-time money being spent in town this weekend, and that's good to see. So before we get rolling, who's picking on you for what now? Anything?
Nothing recently.
Good.
We're working on some good stuff, working on some air service stuff, trying to get more air service into Grand Forks. Then a lot of it's just getting some projects done that we started. But the town's buzzing. Think about that. You went to a concert, had 9,000-10,000 people there.
Oh.
Engelstad Arena was still filled with 11,000 people. So that means things are happening in Grand Forks.
We took a bus from Rumors. I bet you it took almost a half hour to get there. You could see the line of traffic. It was crazy. The economic impact this past weekend had to be just completely nuts. You mentioned working on the airport. I see the boarding's actually down in the month of February, but isn't that kind of skewed? Because for one thing, what do we have? 3 flights coming in and out of here? I mean, if they say boardings are down, that could be a matter of 3 people.
Well, again, whatever number you're going to compare it to. If you compare it to COVID, we're up 200%. If you compare it to pre-COVID, we're certainly down. You compare it to 2014, 2015, when we were hitting our max capacity, about 140,000 implanements means get off or get on.
Mm-hmm.
We're down. We're in the 90,000s. We're down 40%. It hasn't received enough attention, enough effort. So I'm going to make a change to that and try to bring some of the, my office and my strengths behind it. And we're just at the early stage of it. It's going to take a couple of years to get anything sure. done, but you got to start at some point.
Yeah. Now, the Republican caucus is tonight at the Ramada, whatever it is. Yeah, the Ramada. But are you going to go to that? Or I know there's a city council meeting tonight. I mean, you know, we were talking a little bit before we went on that caucus tonight.
Really? If it was in doubt, I'd probably try to scoot over there, you know, if it was going to be close. But I don't think there's anyone that thinks it's going to be close between Trump and Haley.
No.
in the state of North Dakota.
I don't know why she just doesn't get off.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, she won Washington, D.C.
She did win one. Yep.
Which is unsurprising.
Unsurprising.
You don't even want to win that one. That's, you know, that's the swamp. Great, you won the swamp. Congratulations. Yeah. Kind of proves the point that everyone's making about Nikki Haley to begin with, but I digress.
Yeah, and then there's another guy I never even heard of. He's on the ballot tonight, even though he withdrew already, but apparently they already had the ballots printed out or something.
Four people, yeah. There's two other guys that were on there. It makes you wonder. You know, it's like the Ross Perot's in the old days. They just kind of screw up the whole competition for somebody else. But, oh, well.
I forgot about him. Oh, Ross Perot. Couple of different things. Just we'll go over a little bit here. Things going on around town. Maybe you know about them. Maybe you don't. I want to talk about Grand Valley Development Park on the south side. I see Crary, I think, got the naming rights. That's a pretty cool deal.
Yeah, well, they own the development, so that's how they got the naming rights.
Yeah,
but, yeah, that's the first time the city has jumped 60 seconds, so... You know, with that, there's infrastructure expense, but the town's growing. That's a positive thing. I think they already had three houses up and going. You know, you want options. Whether somebody wants a high-density apartment or they want to have a little bit more space, you want to have options within your community. And that development there, I think, is going to have a little bit of everything and a nice park. What I love about that park is it has a 1 mile walking path around it that's depressed so that they can fill it in with ice or fill it with water, which turns into ice. So you can have a skating track around there, which I'm sure me and my kids will really, really enjoy using in the future.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, Warroad finally did it. They have natural ice up there, but gosh, what a cool deal. I kind of want to get back involving the airport again. Now I see UND, they're working on this new deal now with air traffic controllers. And I don't know if you know anything about this or not, but, I never knew that even if you graduated at UND, you still had to go to some other school in Oklahoma or something like that to be an air. Why can't they just graduate and go be an air traffic controller? Because I think that's what's going to be happening here.
That's what they're trying to do. I know Hovind's got a program that he's trying to help push, and that would, I mean, it's like dental school, right? You go to school, and then you got to go to another couple of years to be a dentist or a doctor, those types of things. So trying to speed it up. They're trying to streamline a lot of those. Even, you know, talking about Tommy Kenville, these UAS pilots, does it really make sense that a UAS pilot needs a 4-year degree? Yeah. I mean, if you're a gamer and you go through a 6-week program, you're probably better off than someone that's been at a university going through an entire liberal arts university. So I think they're working to find these certifications to keep costs down. A kid doesn't need to be saddled with $80,000 in debt, you know, coming out of school. That's just ridiculous. So I think there's opportunities all around. I think flight mechanics is another huge one. If we're going to be a hub of aerospace, let's be it from, you know, the captain's seat all the way through the maintenance seat. So that's going to include air traffic control. It's going to include all those features.
And all of those are shorthanded right now. Yeah. Pretty much everyone you've said. Now, Valley Middle School, are they going to just build a new school? Are they going to fix that one up? Or if they do build, is it going to go in that same place or what?
That's obviously a better question for the school district, although we're watching it from an inspection standpoint. They've got that land next to it, so they're going to build congruently. So while school's still happening at the old one, they're going to build the new one, get that done, and then tear down the old one. So I believe the timeline is to start next spring with students going in there. Is it the 26, 27 school year? So it should happen pretty quickly once they get going.
Okay. You know, since you've been here, and this is probably a horrible way to put it, but you have done your best to kind of trim the fat with people working in the city and all that kind of stuff. But now you're combining planning and community development together. I believe Ryan Brooks is going to be still running that, but your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, I mean, this is something I campaigned on, something that I think is hugely important and hopefully something that I think our other political subdivisions can follow as we've tried to cut administrative expenses. So I don't want to, you know, your street level people, they're the ones that are working hard. And you can, you know, if you cut one top administrator, you can probably have three or four, someone that's working at the streets department. So community development, you know, has been a larger department in the past. We're getting more efficient there. There was two department heads that were working out of the same office. So this is an opportunity through attrition, essentially. Someone's retiring and we're not going to fill that job. So it's going to save the city about $130,000 a year. The staff that they've brought up underneath will fill that workload and we're going to do more with less. And I think I've proven that with my office used to have six people and it has three now.
Yeah.
You know, we've cut government relations, officer. We've cut a public affairs manager, a special events coordinator, another staff member, now a community development position. So we've trimmed it up. That means more work for me, more work for the city administrator, but we're doing more with less. And I think that's an example that's important to set.
Great month of February for sales tax collections in Grand Forks. You know, it's so weird to me because the former mayor, you know, we called him downtown whatever, and it seemed like he focused on that. Now you're not so much just focusing on that, but it seems like a lot of other people are. But the downtown, I mean, it's looking fantastic. You know, you got the Olivan and all of that. And then I see Doug Burgum gave the Downtown Development Association Award, the Main Street Award.
Yeah.
And what all have they done to garner that award?
Well, I mean, that organization's really an advocacy organization. I think they've done a lot of work with Town Square. They've done a lot of work of cleaning up, you know, rubbish and getting a snow removal plan for those businesses. So they've done a great job of taking the features that are already there and making them better. And the previous administration certainly focused on downtown a lot, and you're seeing the fruits of that. That downtown does look great. I think it can really stand on its own now, and you're seeing a lot more development and infill, which is great. But we're broadening that. You know, now we're talking about south on 32nd. We got the CT Center in the north. We're looking at the Westward Ho budget in for a development there. You're starting to see that. So, you know, spreading it out citywide is important. And that's where, you know, you talk sales growth. That's not just happening downtown. That's happening at Shields.
Yeah,
that's happening.
Sure.
Well, it used to be at the mall. Shields is probably the biggest expenditures now. But that's happening at restaurants all throughout town. And why is sales tax important? That's businesses getting money. So, I mean, that's business. So if you see that and you see that sales tax collection number, think of it as taxable sales. That means businesses are doing well in the community. So as that grows, you know, if you see a 10% increase year over year, your average business is doing 10% more business. And that's positive.
Any new news on Columbia Mall? I know somebody I thought I'd saw they were getting something going to try to get a roller rink in there or something, a petition. I don't know what good a petition would do, but
well, you can you can petition for a roller rink until a developer is willing to build one.
Right. He's still got to have some money.
It's the building envelope still in decent shape, but we hear, you know, ideas all the time, but nothing's come to fruition. The problem you have is the mall owner still has veto rights of what goes in there. So even something that's positive for the mall, the owners are willing to veto it until they get a payment. It's almost like the mob. I mean, it's pretty bad. So, you know, I don't know how much longer we're going to have to wait, but hopefully something's going to move there. We're just not willing to be taken advantage of as a community. Because really we have. I mean, the way they've let that thing go to heck, it was something that was on the tax rolls for $30 million. It's down to like $10 or $12 million now, so you're losing tax revenue. But aside from that, that was the sort of the heart of the city. And now...
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're not really going there. Maybe GNC, I'll go there every once in a while. It almost feels weird like you're jumping back in time when you leave that entrance to Shields to go to the mall. There's like a Skittles machine there. It's like, I don't know. You guys have actually walked into that part, but it's going back in time. And hopefully, you know, we're ready for a new developer to come in that says we want to get something done and figure out how we can help make that happen. But I'm throwing my hands up to some extent. I've been out to Chicago at least three times now to visit with that group. And, you know, what they want is not a good deal for the city. So until there's a good deal there, we're going to hope that someone else takes it over.
Yeah, it's not like malls are dead. I mean, go to Fargo. It doesn't matter. It seems like any time I go in there, it's always full. Yeah. And so I don't know.
You have to work hard at it, and they weren't willing to.
Right. Simple. Sure. I don't know how many times this has happened this time of the year since you have been mayor, Mr. Mayor, but the flood outlook looks really, really nice right now for Grand Forks, doesn't it?
Well, when they do the flood outlook and there's no stockpile of snow hardly anywhere, it's an easier one to do. So any flooding that we'd have to worry about this year is largely just going to be on spring, you know, related to spring rain. Mm-hmm. So we'd have to get, you know, inches upon inches.
Spring rain as we get rain in February.
Well, that's what we're getting now. So a lot of, obviously, the stock's been flowing away, but you want those, you know, those coolies to be full, those ponds, those feeders. Y'all want them to be full. That definitely helps the river in the long term and helps all the wildlife, the waterfowl, all that stuff. But at the same time, you don't want it to overflow. So we're in good shape this year, and unless something drastic happens, we're not going to be sandbagging this year.
Right. That's a good thing. Grand Forks Mayor Brandon Bochensky is with us today here in the studio. We're going to take just a short little break. I want to talk about CNH Insurance, who actually, Grand Forks' best source, we insure with CNH Insurance. These guys begin with the goal of building an agency with the highest of principles, personalized attention, and, of course, service. You know what? You walk through that door, you are going to get special attention, and you're going to get the best customer service possible. It's what they do. Their agents have a lot of experience, over 50 years combined insurance experience. They're licensed in Minnesota and North Dakota and Arizona for you snowbirds, all right? Get a hold of Justin, Jody, or Tammy, 218-773-0287. You can also drop by their offices at 1427. They're at Central Avenue Northwest in East Grand Forks. Again, check them out. CNH Insurance, it's who we insure with. Maybe you ought to, too. Grand Forks Mayor Brad Bochensky in the studio. Boy, election's getting ready to ramp up. You had your you know, the little party thing there a week or so ago, which I didn't even know about it, or 2 weeks ago.
Paul didn't even tell you. Unbelievable.
Well, he kind of heard about it accidentally, too, from Rusted. And so it's like, wow, I wish.
He must have thought there was a limited number of drinks available.
That's so what he was saying.
It was open bar, and then he figured that out. And he could have invited you then.
Yeah, he could have at least called me, yeah. City council, county commissioners, more people probably on the fence about throwing their hat in, but any races that kind of pique your interest, or are you just hoping to get, you know, good people to work with?
Yeah, you always want good people. The county commission's obviously one I'm watching closely. You know, I'm friends with obviously Mark and Kimberly and close with them, and I think they've had challenges. You've got, you know, the commissioners, some of them have been there for a really long time, and Mark and Kimberly are coming with some new ideas, and, you know, only being two of them, it's hard to get anything passed, so... I'd like to see the county commission, the city, you know, find paths forward on things. And I think that'll be helpful. So I'll be watching that one really closely. Obviously, watching the mayor's race closely since I'm involved in it. I haven't heard of anybody yet that's running against me, but we're ramped up. I got all my volunteers. We got all of our digital ads, our marketing, our billboards. Everything's sort of lined up, ready to go, ready to be unleashed once we've got an opponent.
Okay, make sure you don't autograph anybody's Bochensky for mayor sign. I want to make sure we're still the only one. Now, when you talk about the county commission and things like that, and what the hell's going on with the ramp, the parking ramp? That's the county owns that. Is that correct? And were they trying to pawn it off to the city, and now they finally said, screw it, we're going to take it over? Or what's going on
there? I think
they
were concerned. So the city already has two parking ramps. We have a third party that manages them now, and they've done a good job. Having that third party that is going to handle the light maintenance, but also set the rate schedule so you can actually turn some profit on these things. So it made sense. And also, you got a schedule for maintenance. That's the problem with the county ramp. It hasn't been maintained for almost 25 years. So we got to the county. There's a chunk of land the city owns near the, near the pocket park, kind of by the county building over there on 5th Street. So we talked about doing a swap where we would take on this ramp. It wasn't something that we were necessarily wanting to do because it needs some dollars and capital. Mm-hmm. We said, hey, we'll take this on, take it off of your books. You know, you're not going to have to raise mills in the future to fix it. It was an idea that really started between me and Mark. We worked through the details. I think we had a good plan. The county was afraid that if the city took it over, that they wouldn't be able to park there, or there would be some control issues, which, you know, at the end, you know, screw it. We didn't really want the thing all that much. We were trying to help out, trying to be more efficient as a city, an all of government approach. So it's not just the city, just the county. If someone owns all the ramps, I mean, here was my argument. Okay, if you guys don't want the city to take over the ramp, take our two ramps then and manage those. If one entity's managing, you can get some savings. But ultimately, they decided against that. So it was disappointing. But, you know, it's not really much skin off the city's back. Yeah. Ultimately, if they raise taxes, it's going to be, you know, city taxpayers are paying county tax too. Mm-hmm. Everybody in the city of Grand Forks is in the county of Grand Forks. So doing things that are more efficient to help each other out lowers that total cost on your property tax. So that's what we're trying to do. But
so what is up with the old water treatment plant? Now, is that like not being there? There's still cars that park there. There's still people working in there. What's going on there?
No, that's shut down. So there was some water testing that was done. That got moved over now. So nobody is working out of there. If there's cars parked there, I don't know if they're doing some upkeep, but there's environmental issues. It has to come down.
So that's one down by downtown.
Yep, right downtown. Just south of downtown. So okay. Like Minnesota, Point Bridge, when you go over 3rd Street, is kind of it's called the southeast corner as it goes over. Almost two full city blocks. I've never been on the tax roll, so we're really interested in essentially getting it torn down. But we want to hire a consultant so we don't tear down too. I don't want to overdo the tear down when maybe that could have been part of the new construction.
Sure.
We're trying to save money on the tear down and find the best path forward there to have a good project. Right at the forks of the river. So I think we can have something done well. So the city is involved in the fact that we need to get it torn down and we can partner on something. We're not building anything there where it's a developer that's going to have to come in and build it. So we're trying to work that process and not have to spend too much money on the teardown. But we will need to be involved because there's environmental issues that we're going to have to make sure to take. There's, you know, pits in there that go down 60 feet of concrete.
Yeah, I've got a tour through there back when it was running. It's actually very interesting.
It makes you, you know, I took a tour right when I got in office when it was still producing water, and you're like, this is where our clean water comes from. Now you go to the new water treatment plant, you can eat off the floors. Yeah. But so there, it's got possibilities, and I just want to get it done efficiently so we don't have to waste money on the front end, and that ultimately we're getting tax revenue coming in there with another good project for Grand Forks.
Well, you talk about old buildings, Mr. Mayor. I'm going to date myself here. I still remember this. I was 1977. I was in seventh grade. Hislop Sports Center is where I went to see Kiss. My mom wouldn't let me see the opening band, Uriah Heep. But so Hislop, the pool, closure dates, they're going to eventually knock all this stuff down, aren't they?
Yeah, well, that, you know, we'd heard of this. You know, when I first got into office, they said, you know, you're 4 or 5 years out. That timeline had shrunk a little bit because the last legislative session, UND got some money to put a new STEM center. Mm-hmm. So they needed to tear it down essentially in this biennium. So they're looking at tearing it down sooner, which really moved that timeline up because that's where the community's pool is right now. So that really led to kind of a quicker timeline on getting that sports complex done sooner so that that gap on a pool will be shrunk. And I think we've got it down to about a year now, which, you know, it is what it is. You know, you don't want a community that's taking steps backwards. I think the pool would have been great if they could have waited 2 or 3 more years, or ultimately kept it up. But it's a different place now. You know, years ago the university's really provided more of these facilities for the community. Now they're whether it's insurance related or upkeep or maintenance, they're just not as interested in sharing them with the community as much as they are as just, you know, for their own students. So that's a little bit disappointing. But the city's stepping up to fill that gap, and It's in process.
Yeah. So. You know, I know this isn't really in your wheelhouse, but when we talk about schools, UND, blah, 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 what about what's going on now with the Grand Forks school budget plan? I mean, this reminds me of back during the pandemic when we watched that last school board meeting. It was like the city council meetings with Fufong. I mean, I'd never seen so many people at one of these meetings. And I mean, it had all the fixings for a lynch mob there. But your thoughts on that? You know, I know they don't make up, nothing comes out now, what, till like October.
Right.
But, you know, are people jumping the gun? Are they going to just drop all these classes? Or are they going to fire all these teachers?
Well, I mean, first of all, I think all the people that came and talked did a great job. They were very respectful. Yeah. That was much different than some of the.
Well, sure, it was.
This isn't, you know, this is. The can got kicked down the road for way too many years. They didn't make cuts. This is where I'm keying to, you know, look at administration first. That's what the city's done. We've made those cuts there. That's the first piece. But the can got kicked down the road too far, and eventually, you know, you get into a situation where you got your hands tied and you have to try to make tough decisions. Well, people are pretty passionate about the arts and music.
Well, sure. And, you know, not everybody's a jock.
Exactly. And people always say not everyone plays sports and everyone, you know, that does this and that. A lot of people play sports and they involve the music.
Yeah. Well,
that may be the only thing that they do. And they're very passionate about it. And I think through the schools, that's a lot of people's only access to the arts and certainly art education. Yeah. So it's difficult. I hope that they can find another path forward because that just seems like we're losing something with all the growth and all the momentum that we have. And then you have to read a headline like that, you know, trying to draw a workforce here. That's just a bad story. So it's hard to blame the current school board because like I said, the can's been kicked down the road for so many years, so many times they've made poor budget decisions that they get to today and that's where they're at. So hopefully they can work around that. And I know that they're trying to build a reserve because if they don't have a decent reserve, you don't get a high, you know, you don't get a good bond rating. So then when you go to the bond market, you end up paying more money in interest. So you do have to get somewhat of a reserve. Otherwise it's worse and worse and worse as it goes forward. So you can't continue to kick the can down the road, but find places to cut where it's not directly affecting the well-being of students, let's put it that way.
You know, there's a lot. The United States Postal Service has been in the news a lot lately. I know that they're being audited in North Dakota, I think Fargo, Grand Forks, Bismarck. But a great example of this, Mr. Mayor, my wife was tracking a package just about a little over a week ago, tracked it from Fargo to Grand Forks, then it went to Candu, then it went back to Grand Forks, then it went to Thief River Falls, and then it came back to Grand. Is that one of the reasons why they are auditing? I mean, what the hell's going on here? I caught our mailman couldn't figure out why he was putting in other people's packages in my mailbox. Well, I found out my mailbox was bigger than the other two. So he would just, instead of trying to, you know, have to drive up to their door, which he can do, he'll just stuff them in mine and act like nothing happened. Do we got to start? Well, you know, you can't, I can't just take it and put it in somebody else's mailbox. Technically, that's a federal offense.
Yeah, I guess I don't know about that. There's a lot to unpack there. The federal government's been trying to streamline their postal service, and that meant some of these smaller towns would, like ours, would be going from a regional processing center to a local processing center. Meaning, if I was going to mail you a package, you would have to go to, or I was going to mail you a letter, it'd have to go to Fargo first, then back to Grand Forks to go to your house. So that's highly inefficient, especially for companies that are sending out bills, other things. And you're going to lose sorting capacity here. You're going to lose jobs here. And they came in, the feds came in and held a meeting. It was an information meeting. They weren't answering questions. So I was out there, you know, saying we don't want to lose this. Let's keep it the way it is. So that got tied in. We worked with our senators to tie that into a larger audit, which there's been other issues in Minnesota, like Amazon just drops, you know, 50,000 packages one day that you got to drop off.
Yeah,
and it's like, okay, we got four people here. How are we going to do this?
Sure.
So that's all inclusive in that. But I think we need to at least keep our service for the Postal Service where it's at today, and hopefully improve it in the future, not step back. And that's what's being proposed right now.
You know, I usually try to keep up the snuff on whatever our conversation is going to be on the show. But I'm going to admit, though, there's one thing I haven't done a whole lot of research on, and that is the Career Impact Academy. It's done by summer of 2025 is what they're hoping for. What exactly is the Career Impact Academy?
Well, think about when we were back in school and you had, you know, wood shop class, those types of classes. They're not doing those as much in high. Well, they're doing them as part of a career and technical education platform now. Now you're including nursing, you're including, you know, welding, you're including computer programming. Yep. Some of those things that are, maybe you don't need a four-year degree, but you can come out of high school with some proficiency level, some certification, you can go right into the workforce. So the CT Center is intended to bridge the gap to have skilled labor earlier to help with our workforce issues. So it was an initiative by the governor. Love him or hate him, I think this one's one that he definitely got right.
Mm-hmm.
They had a matching grant, so the city and the EDC and local leaders helped raise the money from the private sector to match that up to $10 million. So it's going to be a $20 million plus facility. It's already started, but that's going to get people that working experience, that skilled work before they go to college. So they have the choice, either go to college or get a job. You can come out of there as a journeyman electrician, let's say. Now you're making $100,000 a year.
Yeah.
Buy a truck, you can have a family, and you're 21, 22 years old, 20 years old, right out of high school. That's I think that's phenomenal. I think the college experience just isn't maybe as valuable as it was. You know, it's way too expensive, and the gap between salaries has gotten so much tighter that the value is not always there to go to college. So let's have the option so people are skilled coming out of high school. So I believe in it. It's blue collar types of jobs.
Yep.
I love everything about it. So I hope the program can match the facility.
I mean, we all know somebody, Mr. Mayor, that's got a four-year degree that maybe took him 5 or 6 years to get. And, you know, a good friend of mine's a music major. He's running a tire store.
Yeah.
I got friends that have four-year degrees. They're plumbers or electricians now.
Yeah.
They found out. And the thing is, folks, when you mentioned blue collar, it's not that bad. I used to plumb. I used to work construction. I used to do all that stuff. But the money's there. It's right there. You get paid. You get paid well. And again, you're not stuck with all these student loans and things like that. I do want one more question before we cut you loose. Then we'll just chat a little bit here. But the new, what do you call it? The CFIUS? Is that what
CFIUS.
We would?
Yeah. CFIUS. I don't even know how. You know, it's S-C-F-I-U-S. Yeah.
C-F-I-U-S. Yeah.
Yep.
So now Kevin Cramer, he's got Senator Kevin Cramer, new CFIUS legislation. What's going on there? I mean, it's just to not happen what happened before kind of thing. So what's different then?
Well, I think the process needs to be improved because the communication's not great at all and it takes way too long.
Yeah.
And it's easy just to say, you know, check off this box, that means it's bad. Check off this box, that's good. It's not as simple as that. You know, ownership structures are deep and it's, you don't have the resources locally to dig into this stuff. You need it to be done at the federal level. So I think he's trying to improve that. He's been good to work with through this process. You know, I know he's, you know, nothing's perfect in these processes, but we continue to work together. We're also working with a local base as well to have kind of a local clearinghouse just to something. I mean, people don't, that needs to be done more often now is to cut the feds out of it because you just don't know what's happening at the top.
It's not like they're telling us everything.
Yeah. I mean, you can look at issues across the country with immigration, other stuff. We're kind of on our own in certain things. So we're trying to improve the process and the city's got a seat at the table of that. So that's been good.
I don't know if there's something wrong with our deal today, but nobody has texted in, and I know there were people that were going to because they were texting me all weekend long, wondering when you were coming back on. In fact, nope, that's not it. What excites you more than anything right now about Grand Forks, about being the mayor of this fine place?
I think the most exciting thing is watching, and I know this is kind of lame, but I'm a numbers guy, watching job growth and wage growth coming to Grand Forks. We had some of the lowest wages, actually, of any of the major cities. We had the lowest wages 4 or 5 years ago. We're catching up to Fargo very quickly, so that improves the quality of life. If you got enough money at the end of the day to go, once you're done with your job, at the end of the day to go spend some money, take a trip, it's not all about the money, but time. That buys you time. You don't need a second job to pay off things. You can spend more time with your family and your friends. So I'm pretty excited about that. That's the biggest thing that can really move a community forward. So hopefully that'll continue and we can be aggressive growing businesses here. I'm excited about that sports complex. I think that's going to be a big piece to get, you get kids inside, you get, you know, more turf, more courts, the pickleball, the aquatic center. I mean, we're a community that's moving forward. Communities that are growing like that are the places people want to live. And we're not this old dying, you know, farming community. We're the community that people leave those communities to go to. Let's put it that way. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Is the jail coming around? I haven't even been out that part of town at all lately.
Well, here we've touched the school, the county a little bit. That's, you know, that
project wasn't even on my notes.
Yeah, I don't follow that one. I think that one didn't roll out as well as they were hoping it would. And I don't think to date it's even.
Thank you for saying that, by the way. Well.
I don't know how else to say. You could have Mark on here on that, and he could give you an hour into that. But mistakes were made. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. By the way, let's see here. Our fourth anniversary is coming up on St. Patrick's Day. That's the 17th. On Friday, the 15th of March. I don't know if you're going to be around, Mr. Mayor, but we're going to celebrate a little bit. And we're hoping maybe you come by the studios and check it out. But yeah, and I know you kind of got a little sickness going on here, but anything we missed out on?
Nope, I think you got it all. Hopefully spring continues to be light weather and people are out in the community. It's been exciting. It's been a great winter.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, absolutely.
People generally seem pretty happy and things are happening, so hopefully we can keep the momentum going.
And, you know, when you first walked in, you said, what are we going to talk about today? And I said, well, I don't know, but it's been a little while. And this is my point here, Mr. Mayor. I text you on, say, a Thursday and say, hey, can you come in on Monday? And I don't think you've ever said no. Another reason that's why I get a hold of you is, I like to prove how transparent you are. You're not afraid to get out in front of the people. You don't hide, and, you're a pretty good dude too. So, again, thank you for coming in. We love having you in here. It's just, it kind of keeps people on their toes on what's going on in the city.
Well, thanks for having me. Now my head's so big, I don't know if I'll be able to get out the door, but,
don't stretch those headphones out.
I appreciate that. You just got to stay positive and keep showing up and trying to do your job. There's going to be challenges. It's not about the good days. It's about how you handle the bad ones. And hopefully people see that.
So there you go.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mayor Bochensky on the show today, which, by the way, was brought to you by Smiling Moose Rocky Mountain Deli. If you've got an event coming up or maybe just want to treat your employees, check out Smiling Moose Rocky Mountain Deli. This is no run-of-the-mill deli either. They're a company of passionate people who work together to create craveable food and memorable service that you will not forget. The breakfasts are incredible and served all day. Box lunches and dinners, vegetarian, vegan, and gluten-free. And even last-minute events, Smiling Moose Rocky Mountain Deli uses only the freshest ingredients with chef-inspired, bold, adventurous flavors where everything is made to order. Contact them at SmilingMooseDeli.com or call 701-757-DELI or stop in at 623 South Washington with the details and let them do the rest, or they'll be sure to decide the perfect menu tailored to your needs. Smiling Moose Rocky Mountain Deli. We don't just cater your event, we cater to you. All right, there we go. And again, thank you to Smiling Moose Rocky Mountain Deli for being a sponsor today. And thank you, of course, to Grand Forks Mayor Brandon Bochensky. Hey, don't forget, again, our fourth anniversary coming up on March 15th. We are celebrating, or no, our anniversary is on the 17th. We're going to be celebrating on the 15th. That's a Friday. We invite all of you listeners, all of you followers, come on in, check out the studios of Grand Forks Best Source right here in the Grand Cities Mall. Kit Brennan is Common Sense Uncensored today at 1 o'clock. We got Arts for Vets at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the shows. They're both going to be great shows. I'll catch you tomorrow morning at 9. And remember, everybody, to like, share, tag, and follow us. Hit the notification bell on your smartphone. Dings every time we turn the studios on. It's pretty cool. Hey, Grand Cities are grand. Grand Forks Best Source, giving them an identity again.